Maybe seated. Well, today in our sermon series that's based on the questions in the Shorter Catechism, we come to the last question pertaining to the fourth commandment. And I mentioned to you that there are more questions about the fourth commandment than any of the others because there's a lot of things that are, we need to have additional explanation and understanding on. But because of this, these various questions, I thought it would be helpful for us today as we confess answers together to these questions to go back to question 57 where we're first introduced to the fourth commandment, and we can confess these together. Not only will it serve as a review for those that have been in this series, but also if you've been away from some of the series, it will help you to gain an overview of what the Scriptures teach about the fourth commandment. You need catechisms. They're on the back table. And also they're on the outline. You have the questions on your outline if you have a sermon outline this afternoon. So let's begin starting with question number 57. Question 57, which is the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now when we did this question, I just gave you an overview of the whole subject. So if you want to go back and listen to an overview about the fourth commandment, then that would be a place where you could find that. We kind of did a summary of the whole thing there. Now let's move on. Question 58. Together we'll confess what is required in the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he has appointed in his word, expressly one whole day in seven to be a holy Sabbath to himself. So that is the essential moral requirement of the fourth commandment, that we need to keep one whole day in seven. That's what God has appointed as a ratio, I guess, of how our time should be used in terms of praising God one day out of every 7 days. And when we looked at this question, you may remember, I just simply exhorted you that this is what you need to do. You need to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what it says. It was a very straightforward message of just, this is what we are called to do, so we need to do it. Okay, question 59. Which day of the seven hath God appointed to be the weekly Sabbath? From the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ, God appointed the seventh day of the week to be the weekly Sabbath, and the first day of the week ever since to continue to the end of the world, which is the Christian Sabbath. Now, when we looked at this, we looked at how Jesus set the pattern for keeping the Sabbath on the first day rather than the seventh day of the week. He had the first New Testament worship service, worship under the new covenant with his disciples, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, the day that he rose from the dead. And then he waited for 1 week, and he came back to them again, as it says, 8 days later, counting inclusively of the day that you start counting from, so that it was again on Sunday. He came again and he preached the good news to them again, declaring that his sacrifice had been accepted for sins, that he had been raised from the dead. Remember, Thomas was there that time. The disciples praised God and rejoiced in this, and he commissioned and empowered them to be ministers of the gospel. He did that that first Sunday after he rose, and then he waited and did it again on the next Sunday. He was setting a pattern for us to follow. And then at Pentecost was a holy day of the Old Testament that was always on Sunday, the first day of the week. And that was the day that Jesus chose to pour out the Holy Spirit. We think of Pentecost as the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's true, it was, but it was already a holy day from before that. It was actually a feast day for the harvest. And it was also a time when they remembered the giving of the law. You see, when God gave the law on the stone tablets, and then with the Holy Spirit, He wrote the law in the hearts of His people. And so now on the first day of the week, again, Jesus is showing that this is the day that He blesses us, that He gives us the working of the Holy Spirit. And in addition to that, what did they do when they received the Holy Spirit? The very things that we're to do on the Lord's Day. They declared what the gospel, what God had done in receiving Jesus as a sacrifice, and they praised God. Those are the things they did, even when they spoke in other languages of the people that had gathered there. So, again, the pattern goes on. We saw that this pattern was followed by the disciples in the early church because, for example, when we get to when it talks about Troas in Acts 20, verse 7, it tells about how Paul waited until the disciples gathered together to break bread for the public worship of God on the first day of the week. So it was a pattern that was begun, you see, by the apostles and carried out by their authority as those who were sent by Jesus to appoint worship as He had commanded. They followed the pattern that Jesus had given. And don't want to go into too many details, but moving on, question 60, confess this one together as well. How is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. Now, you remember when we did that one, I emphasized particularly the duty of the Sabbath, the positive things that we're to do rather than things we're not to do. Because we have the next question in the catechism that deals with what we're not to do. So we look particularly that we're to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. And basically, if we did that, we wouldn't have to worry about the things that we're told not to do, because we would be busy doing the things that He has given us to do, and there wouldn't be any need for us to be told what not to do. But we looked in looking at what we're called to do, at how God appointed for His Sabbath. We saw seven different Sabbaths that were described in Leviticus 23. We looked at an overview of what was the character of those Sabbaths. What was to be the character of those days? And what were they to do? And there were things like there was a holy convocation, an assembly of the people before God. So all along, you see, through the ages, God, when on His day, it was a day for people to come together and corporately praise God and rejoice in what He had done. And then we saw that it was also a holy feast before the Lord, where there was feasting, except for the Day of Atonement. All the Sabbaths were days of feasting and rejoicing, because you're rejoicing in what God had done. With the Day of Atonement, they ended up rejoicing too, because atonement was made for their sins. But as that was being done on that day, it was a day of fasting rather than a day of feasting, as the sacrifice was offered and so on. Okay, question 61. What is forbidden in the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment forbiddeth the omission or careless performance of the duties required, and the profaning the day by idleness, or doing that which is in itself sinful, or by unnecessary thoughts, words, or works about our worldly employments or recreations. So in looking at that question, we zeroed in then on the things that we're not to do. How do we profane the Sabbath day? You remember the word profane? I've been using that with you a lot. We ran into it with Esau a while back. That's when you make something that's supposed to be holy, common, or ordinary. So it's not special anymore. See, the Sabbath is a holy day, special day, set apart to God. You make it like every other day. What are things you do that make it like every other day, that profane the day? Well, we looked at three ways that we do this. One is by working in our regular jobs and whatever. Because of sometimes our covetousness, we want to go and work because we don't have, feel like we don't have enough time to make all the money that we want to make, or whatever it is. And then we saw also second way by doing all sorts of other things that have nothing to do with the worship of God. You know, we're going and watching a movie or something that doesn't have anything to do with the things of God and His worship. All kinds of various ways that we would do that. Going to a ball game or playing ball, something like that. And then we saw also that another way to profane the Sabbath, interesting way, is to make it into a day of oppressive regulations. We saw that Jesus came and He dealt with that as a problem in His day. That was the big problem. The Pharisees, they didn't think about rejoicing in the works of God and what God had done. They thought about whether somebody was profaning the Sabbath. And they would go around and watch and see, oh, you know, look, Jesus' disciples, they grabbed some grain when they were walking by the grain field. They were harvesting. They weren't harvesting. They weren't tools and stuff harvesting the ground. They were just grabbing something as they walked by. And you know, this kind of thing, we saw that works of necessity and mercy were appropriate to do on the Sabbath day. Like if you're cold, you can build a fire, you know, that kind of thing. Or you're hungry, you can get something to eat. Those kind of things. It's actually a day of feasting, so there's things that are appropriate. Helping an injured person. Those are all things that are perfectly appropriate to do. Okay, and that brings us now to question 62. It's our question for today. In question 62, we look at the reasons that the Lord has given us to keep this commandment. You know how that is. These reasons are spelled out by God in the fourth commandment because itself, because we've already recited, you know, what the commandment is. But when we recite that commandment, we can see that it has things in it that are reasons that are added to it. It doesn't just say, remember the Sabbath today to keep it holy. It could just say that. But it lays out reasons why we should do that. So I want to read it to you again. Exodus 20, verse 8. Here's the word of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. You can see then in this commandment how the Lord not only tells you to keep the day holy, but gives you the reasons. You know already the primary reason that you should keep the Sabbath holy. It's a holy day. It wouldn't be a very good holy day if we didn't know why we were doing it. The reason we were doing it originally was because God made the world. And we're rejoicing in His finished work of creation. And then now that Jesus has come, first day of the week, we're rejoicing that Jesus has made atonement for our sin and that His sacrifice has been accepted. So we know the reason. But the Lord also gives us these reasons to motivate us to keep the Sabbath, because He knows that His people have always had a hard time doing it. It's always something that has been neglected. Some people think, oh, they kept that in the Old Testament. They didn't keep it in the Old Testament. They almost never kept it. They were like us. They were very, very slack. God's always complaining to them about not keeping the Sabbath. And because He knows we have a hard time, and He knew they would have a hard time, He knew that from the creation until the time when He gave the commandment at Sinai that they'd had a hard time. That's why He had to say, remember it, because it had been forgotten. He knew that in the future there would be a hard time. So like a good parent does. You know, children, if you're having a hard time doing something, like maybe you know, you wash the dishes and you're supposed to wipe the table too, and you never remember to wipe the table. Then your mom, when she's talking to you, she'll often say something like, now you need to wipe the table. You know, we're going to have ants if you don't wipe the table. Well, she gave you a reason. She's trying to help you have an additional reason to do it. Not just because she said so, but because we're going to have ants and you don't want to. And if you do your schoolwork, then you're going to get your books all messed up. So, you know, she's giving you these different reasons. You know, maybe I should wipe the table. It's to help you in your weakness. Well, question 62 in our catechism spells out the reasons that God has given for us to keep the fourth commandment holy. Let's confess together this question then. It's question 62. What are the reasons annexed to the fourth commandment? The reasons annexed to the fourth commandment are God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments, His challenging a special propriety in the seventh, His own example, and His blessing the Sabbath day. You see four reasons mentioned here. First, God's allowing us 6 days of the week for our own employments. The commandment says, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. In other words, you have plenty of time to get everything you need to do done. So it shouldn't be burdensome to you. You've got 6 days. So it shouldn't be burdensome to you to set aside one day for the worship of God. Second, He's challenging a special propriety in the seventh. That's kind of a lot of words that we may not be so familiar with. What is that talking about? Well, that means that God claims special ownership of the day. Propriety refers to ownership. Like if you have businesses, you have a sole proprietorship. That means one person owns it. Right? So propriety, you hear the same word there. It's the ownership. So the Lord claims the Sabbath to be His day. It doesn't belong to you to do what you wish. The point here is that the day does not belong to you to do what you want with it, but it belongs to the Lord as a day of worship. Third, His own example, where He says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and rested on the seventh day." So we're to follow His example of resting on the seventh day. God set the example in the beginning, and we're to do that. We're to get into a cycle where we work 6 days, rest on the seventh day. Just like He set the pattern for all of His creatures. We have a seven-day week all over the world because that's what God instituted at creation, except places where people have deliberately deviated with that. But that's the roots that we have from creation. Then the fourth thing, fourth reason is His blessing the Sabbath day. And that's a great motivation for us to keep it. When you keep it, it'll bring blessing to you. God will bless you. So we've seen when God blesses a day, He does not do it for the sake of the day, but for the sake of the people that will use the day to be blessed. Our lives are marvelously enriched and blessed when we keep the day. It doesn't harm us, but it enriches us to keep the Sabbath day. People sometimes act like, man, I'm going to be damaged if I keep the Sabbath day. It's going to hurt me. It doesn't hurt you. It blesses you to have a day set apart to the Lord. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. That's an overview. This summary of the four reasons is given us in the fourth commandment. Let's look at these now in more detail. First reason for keeping the Sabbath day, because of God's allowing us 6 days for our own employment. 6 days, verse 9 says, shall you labor and do all your work. A lot of people say, I can't keep the Sabbath. I've got too much to do. See, I think a lot of people are kind of proud about having too much to do. And that's a way of saying, I'm such an important person. I'm in so much demand that I don't have time like other people do to set aside a day like that. The farmer insists that he's got to get his crop in. The CEO insists that I've got a meeting that's so important that I can't miss. You know, this is a $5 million contract we're talking about. I'm so important. I can't be setting aside a day for the Lord. People like that will often say that about other things as well. Like if you tell them that, you went to a movie or you went fishing or something. I don't have time to go to movies or to fish. Right? It's kind of, you know what I'm talking about. But before you pat yourself on the back and say, I'm not like that. I'm the guy that goes fishing. Well, then I need to tell you that there's perhaps even more people who don't have time for the Sabbath because they're so busy with their recreations all the time. And, I don't have time for the Sabbath. I watch television for 20 hours, but I don't have time. You know, I've just got so much going on in my life. They act as though their ball games or non-negotiable activities or their hobbies or their movies or whatever it is. They act as if these are more important, these things, than keeping the Lord's Day. And sometimes it's just a matter of plain old laziness. You know, you never get your work done, and so you always got work to do. And you're always feeling like, I got to do this, because you didn't ever do it when you should have done it. So now it's haunting you, and I don't have time because you didn't do what you were supposed to be doing all week. if you had asked them, they would not say that their naps and their surfing the web and all the things that they were doing instead of working were more important than the Sabbath day. They wouldn't say that. But by their actions, that's really what's coming out. They would even admit that they are not; those things are not all that important. But you see, they gravitate to those things all the time without thinking about it. And then they suddenly remember the project at work or the school paper that's due. And, oh, no, you know, now I've got to work all weekend. I don't have time. People need to face the fact that they're setting these things above the Lord, too. And there is that kind of laziness, too, that where you have stuff to do that you don't really like to do. And so, you know, we sometimes fuss at our kids about this, you know, job that takes, you know, 20 minutes, like washing the dishes or something, takes 2 hours, you know, because they're really not wanting to wash the dishes. And so you're just kind of pedaling along. You don't ever, if you take 2 hours to do things that should take 20 minutes, you're not going to have time. You know, it's going to mess you up. So you need to busy yourself. Then you're all overwhelmed, you know, and you feel like you don't ever have time. The problem in every case here is idolatry. We don't have time for the Sabbath day. It's because of idolatry. Often when people start to seriously observe the Sabbath, you know what comes out in their lives? Idols. Start to find out you have idols when you try to keep the Lord's day holy. An idol is something that you devote yourself to instead of God. The CEO thought that his big contract gave him good reason to break the Sabbath until he sees how idolatrous that is. You know, I said $5 million before. A $5 billion contract is not nearly as important as the Lord's Day. And you're not thinking clearly if you think it is. Dr. Joey Piper tells in his book on the Lord's Day about the great love that he had for football. And he realized when they started playing football on the Lord's Day that it was an idol. Because he was committed to keeping the Lord's Day, and then all of a sudden he found it really hard to keep the Sabbath. He did keep it, but he realized then what a place football had on his life and how that he had been neglecting things with, say, spouse or family or various things like that, because this place, this thing had such a place in his life. It was like a dominant force in life. And so, see, when your idolatry is exposed, you see selfishness in other areas that crops out of that idolatry. How your love for your idols was robbing affection for your spouse and kids. I've talked about this a lot with pornography. If a man, that's a real kind of an idol. Man gives himself over to that. He's addicted, he says, right? He just gravitates to it all the time. He is addicted in a way. He's in bondage. What does he do? He steals time. He steals money. And he steals affection. You know, people may not even know he's doing it, but his heart is somewhere that it's not supposed to be. And the affection that he ought to have toward his wife is not going to be there. The affection for his children is not going to be there. Last week we saw how the person who is so covetous that he can't set apart the Sabbath day will often have other problems too. You know, if your work is so big and important to you that you can't set it apart, then you're probably going to be cheating people in your business, or you're going to be oppressing people that work for you, trying to take advantage of them, or making contracts or deals where you're taking advantage of people rather than being a blessing because you're so focused on what you got to have. So it exposes idolatry. Don't complain that you don't have enough time, because you have 6 days just like everyone else to do everything that you need to do. God has given you these 6 days to do all your work. If he had given you 8 days a week, then you'd have exactly the same problem. It wouldn't make any difference whatsoever. You would fill it up and you would not have time for the Sabbath day. An idolatrous heart is a heart that never has enough. Think about that. An idolatrous heart is not a grateful heart because it always wants more. Think about a glutton. People say, oh, that guy, he really loves his food. But you know what? If he's a glutton, he doesn't really love his food. He constantly craves it, but he's not satisfied by it. He can't eat and enjoy a meal and say, that was really good. All he can say is, I got to get more. I got to get more. I got to get more. Doesn't enjoy it. That's the way the drunkard is too. He doesn't enjoy wine. He doesn't enjoy beer. He doesn't enjoy whatever he drinks, whiskey, whatever. He's always craving it. It's never gives him joy and thanksgiving before God. That's an idol. Now let's look at the second reason for keeping the Sabbath day that's listed here. Because God has challenged a special propriety in the seventh. As I mentioned before, that means that the day belongs to him. The word propriety means ownership. So God claims a special ownership of the day when he speaks of the Sabbath as the Sabbath of the Lord your God. That's what it says in the commandment. That's where they get that special propriety in the seventh. It says, it is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It belongs to the Lord your God. It's his day, his holy day. Now, this is something that's emphasized in Scripture quite a lot. For example, in Isaiah 58:13 that we looked at last week, the Lord rebukes those who find their own pleasure on what day? What does he call it? On my holy day. It is propriety. There's an ownership. It's his own day. And in Leviticus 19:3, 19:30, and 26:2, he says, you shall keep the Sabbath. No, he says, you shall keep my Sabbath. Again, days that God owns, belong to him. When we come to the New Testament, what do we find? Same thing. Last week we saw in Matthew 12 how the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of all people, Jesus, of breaking the Sabbath because he didn't keep their rigid rules. And Jesus told them that he, the Son of Man, was what? The Lord of the Sabbath. If you are Lord of something, that means that you own it. It belongs to you. It is at your service, and you can do with it what you wish. It is for this reason that the church in the time of the apostles used to refer to the Christian Sabbath as the Lord's Day. Now, you could have just as well called the Sabbath in the Old Testament the Lord's Day when it was on the seventh day. That's perfectly legitimate name for it. We know that the Christians in the early church called it the Lord's Day from history. We also know it from Scripture. Because in Revelation 1:10, when John wants to tell us about the revelations that he receives, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, the day that belongs to the Lord now. And if it belongs to him, we've seen that it does, then you ought to use it in the way that he wants. By observing the day, you show that he's your master. That he's your Lord. You do not do your own thing on his day, but you do what he wants you to do with his day because he's your master. And if he's your master, you do what he wants. In Exodus 31:13, he tells us that keeping the day shows that we belong to him. He says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath, there's my Sabbath again, you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am who? The Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. So you see how this works. When you use the day for the worship of God, you declare to your family and to your friends, to those that you work with, that you're not your own, that you belong to the Lord, and that when he says to keep a day holy, you keep it holy. If they try to draw you away and urge you to work or to enter into inappropriate recreation, oh, you got to come and play ball. You got to come. You know, they find out who your master is. They find out that you aren't your own. You don't do what you wish with your time. You follow the Lord. Your unbelieving mother can try to pressure you to go to the fair or to go shopping with her or whatever. She can tell you that you do not love her. Because you don't go with her. And that you're selfish. And that you're proud. And that you're legalistic. And you're a fundamentalist wacko. And whatever. She can tell you all kinds of things. But she cannot manipulate you. Because it's the Lord's day. It's not my day. It's the Lord's day. You show her that the day is non-negotiable. Because the Lord is your master. And that's non-negotiable. You have been given orders from him. He wants you to keep the day, therefore you keep the day. And Sabbath keeping is not only a sign to others that you belong to the Lord, it's also a sign to you. John gives us this in 1 John 2 as a general principle in verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. He says, "By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You don't know him as Lord if you don't keep his commandments. How can you say, "That's my master. I don't ever do what he tells me, but he's my master"? It doesn't work. If some guy's telling you that, you know, he's a slave, and you say, "Well, who's your master?" And he says, "Oh, that guy over there." "Well, how come you never do what he says?" "Oh, well, I don't like to do what he says." Like, okay, so you're a slave. I see. What does that mean in that case? Well, when you keep the Lord's Day, you assure yourself that you belong to him. You know who you belong to. The reason you keep it is because of him. Now, someone will often say at this point, "But what about the other days? Don't the other days belong to the Lord too?" Do they? Of course they do. They say, "Is Jesus not Lord of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday also?" And the answer is, of course he is. If he's the Lord, you do what he wants every day of the week. And that includes Sunday. And on Sunday, he wants you to set aside the other things to worship him. On the other days, he wants you to work, he wants you to labor, he wants you to do good to other people, he wants you to enjoy your recreations and all these things. By observing as a day that is visibly distinct from the other days, you show that you recognize that all of your time, all 7 days, belong to him. You show clearly that you recognize that he is your Lord, who has a right to tell you what to do with all of your time, including what you do on the day that he set apart especially. And Sabbath observance has the added benefit of reminding you that all of your time belongs to the Lord. You know that? When you keep the Sabbath and you're thinking about, "What does God want me to do on Sunday?" you're also going to be thinking about, "What does the Lord want me to do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday?" You're going to be conscious of serving him more. Is it really for the Lord what you're doing on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? It helps you the same way that tithing helps. When you know that God has authority over all that you own and that he's told you to give 10% to church and the worship of God and that sort of thing, and you obey him as your Lord and you give that 10%, what are you saying about the other 90%? That it belongs to him too. And then you think more carefully about what you do with that other 90% because you're under the Lord. If you disregard, then you lose sight of who is Lord. Okay, so he has a special propriety. Now let's move on to the third reason for keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because of his, the Lord's, own example of resting on the seventh day. Now this is really the heart of it all. We rest from our work and celebrate his work on the Sabbath because he rested from his work, and celebrated that work on the Sabbath. He set the pattern. He set the pattern when he created the world. In Genesis 1, we're told how he made everything in 6 days. And then in Genesis 2, we're told how he rested on the seventh day and sanctified the seventh day because that was when he stopped working, stopped creating. He finished. So he was done. He stopped. He enshrined that day that he stopped, the first day that he was not working, as a holy day. He set it apart by his own example as a day to celebrate the finished work of creation. And he gave that to his creatures. We are told in scriptures how God and the holy angels rejoiced when the work of creation was finished. And we're to follow his example each Sabbath day. We're to rejoice in his marvelous work of creation. We're to give thanks to him and we're to honor him for his work with praises and with declarations of the goodness of God. How good the Lord is to provide for all of our needs. How gracious he has been to us. We speak of these things to give us our daily bread. And in Deuteronomy 5, God gave his people another great work, another of his great works to rejoice in on the Sabbath day. When he issues his commandments in Deuteronomy 5, as we've seen, they're a little different than Exodus 20. He calls them to honor his work of redeeming them out of Egypt, as well as what they were already to do, creation. The Sabbath then is the day that they were to honor him for his great work, as it says in this great work. It says in Deuteronomy 5:15, "Remember that you are a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. God had finished that work of delivering them from bondage, and he had rested from it. It was done. So each week, they were to finish their work for the week, okay, on the seventh day for them, and then they were to come and rejoice in these two great works, creation and redemption. They were to enter into joyful rest on that day to celebrate what God had done. And now for us in the New Testament, Hebrews 4, we've read it several times in this series. We have the example of the Son of God incarnate resting from his work of redemption. The Son of God, before he was incarnate, when he created the world, before he became flesh, rested. He redeemed his people from Egypt and rested. Now, the Son of God incarnate, who came in the flesh, finishes his work and rests on the first day of the week. And we're to enter into that rest. Hebrews 4:10, his rest is compared to God's rest when he created the world. It says, for he, that is Jesus, who has entered his rest, has himself also ceased from his works. He finished atoning for our sins, as God did from his. And in the context, he's talking about when God created the world. God finished, rested. Jesus finished, redemption, rested. Okay, so it's the same pattern there. If we have come to Jesus and have been saved from our sins through this work on the cross, then we are to follow his example in celebrating this work each Lord's Day. We're to do our work each week and then keep a Sabbath rest in which we rejoice with Jesus and the finished work that Jesus did and is resting from. Hebrews 4:9, it says, there remains a rest. Now that word is a Sabbath rest, Sabbatismos, for the people of God. Follow his example of resting from your work and rejoicing in the work that he finished on the first day of the week now. Rejoicing when he is rejoicing. Follow the pattern. Okay, and now we come to the fourth reason we have for remembering the Sabbath day. Because the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day. This is taken from that phrase in the fourth commandment that reads, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And as I've mentioned to you before, when God blesses the day, it means that he makes it a blessing for us. You can see this with other things. What do you mean if you ask God to bless your marriage? Do you mean him to take this abstract thing called marriage and make it happy? No, you mean him to take your marriage and make you happy in your marriage. He brings his blessing to your marriage. That's what you mean. If he blesses a farmer's field, do you want that field to just really be happy? No, you want the field to bring forth crops for you so that you're happy with the field. It's a blessing to you. So if God blesses the day, man, I'm going to make that day really, really happy. No, you want the day to be a blessing to you. And God says that he has made it a blessing to his people. In the same way, then, you see, when God blesses the Sabbath, it means that he's doing something good for us on that day. Jesus made this clear in Mark 2:27 when he said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This day has no intrinsic value in itself. We're not serving the day. We're serving God on the day. We're worshiping God on the day. And that has value for us. That's the most beneficial thing you can do. It brings blessing into your life to devote a day to God. By saying it was made for us, Jesus does not mean that it was made for us to do whatever we want on it. It's not what he means. He means that it was made for our benefit, for our blessing. Now, since the Lord has promised to bless the Sabbath day, shouldn't that encourage you to keep it? Let's say you got a pile of money. You were going to go into business, you know, and you're trying to decide, okay, am I going to do the encyclopedia door-to-door sales, or am I going to do the lemonade stand? Or, you come up with five different businesses, shoe sales or lawn service. You know, which one of these things am I going to do? And if you knew that God was going to bless one of those, if you somehow had the knowledge that God was going to bless the lemonade stand, wouldn't you be an idiot if you decided to do the door-to-door encyclopedia thing? I mean, that doesn't make any sense, does it? You'd be an absolute idiot if you knew that God was going to bless one of them and you did another one. You would show that you don't really believe God's promise is what it would be if he promises. Well then, even if there are no other reasons at all for keeping the Lord's Day but one, and that this last one, if you're trying to decide what to do on the Lord's Day, so here you are, I've got all these different options, what do I do on Sunday? And if you knew that God had promised to bless you if you kept it holy, why would you do something else on that day? It's because you don't really believe that he would bless you. You'd be an idiot if you set aside the Lord's Day and have a recreation day or a work day when God says you're blessed in keeping this day holy. And what is the blessing that you ought to seek on this day? What are the blessings that God gives? Well, I've listed out 14 of them here. I mean, we probably could have done 20. We could have done 10. There's no significance to the number. You could have done 3. But the blessing of knowing your Creator and your Redeemer better. You know, if you spend a day with God, you're going to know Him better, aren't you? The blessing of grasping more fully the greatness of His work and the benefits of it. It's a day when He reveals the glory of His works to us, the glory of creation and redemption. The blessing of lifting your soul up to Him, of being elevated with praise and thanks to Him. Surely you want to praise Him. Well, you need to practice. You need to come and do it. And you, as you do, you're stirred. Your heart is stirred to praise Him. The blessing of having your love and devotion to God stirred up. You see His beauty. You see what He's done. The blessing of being encouraged by others in the Lord, and especially by the Lord Himself. We encourage one another in the assembly, don't we? The blessing of inviting others to come and learn of God's saving grace. You have people that don't know the Lord. You have a day when you're trafficking in the grace of God and you can bring them to join you. Blessing of bringing your children to worship our great God. To stand next to them and to your spouse, praising God, sitting at the feet of the Lord. The blessing of being taught in the way of the Lord and strengthened to walk in His ways. The blessing of being shown your sin and brought to repentance so that you can walk in greater conformity. It's not pleasant at the time, is it, when our sin is exposed? But isn't it marvelous when it is? And you walk away and you walk away from that thing that you've been doing for so long and you're free. And you can go forward now. The blessing of keeping the Lord and His work in fresh focus before you as you renew your vows each week and remember His marvelous work. I told you today we renew our vows when we come to the Lord's Supper each week. And we refresh ourselves in our walk with the Lord. The blessing of receiving fuller measures of God's Holy Spirit. He delights to give the Holy Spirit on the Lord's Day. The blessing of knowing that you have done the will of God. And the assurance that comes from that. We know that we know Him when we keep His commandments. It's a clear conscience because I did what God asked me to do today. That's a blessing. The blessing of seeking the Lord in prayer for yourself and for others. We join together in common prayers, corporate prayers, praying for one another, lifting up our requests to God. The blessing of remembering that life is more than mere work and play. That our Lord is at the center of all as Creator and Savior. We get lost in the muddle of all the things and busyness of life. We come apart for a while, and we are renewed in this way. Maybe we could sum up His promise to bless us by quoting from Isaiah 58:13-14 again, where He says to us, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, remember what that means, you don't track on the Sabbath with all of bringing in all your other things. He explains it, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath, instead you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own works, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage or the inheritance of Jacob your father. Will God really do that? You know what it says after that, the next words? Mouth of the Lord has spoken. Why does it say that? Because we don't really think that we'll be blessed if we observe the Sabbath day. We think we're going to miss out. We're going to lose something that's going to hurt us. So He says, the mouth of the Lord says that you will be blessed if you do this. God says that you'll be, you will. So in conclusion, consider the four things that we've seen today as reasons to keep the Sabbath holy. Because he's given you 6 days to do everything else, it's quite enough. Unless you have idols that you're serving, then it's not nearly enough. Because he has claimed a special ownership of the day, and he is your Lord and your master of all of your time, everything about you. Because he has given you an example, he finished his work and celebrated. And he calls you to finish your work and celebrate what he has done for you. Because he has promised to bless the day to you. And you're an idiot if you don't set aside what God has said for blessing, for blessing. You miss the blessing. Please stand and let's call upon the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you appeal to us like little children. You know, it would have been enough if we weren't like little selfish children. It would have been enough if you had just simply instituted the Sabbath at creation and we would have been rejoicing on that day and praising you and all that if we weren't fallen into sin. But it's not so. We find it hard. We always seem to have other things that encroach on the holy day of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to us. Thank you that you are merciful to us. Thank you that even the way you give us this commandment with all of its encouragements to keep the day is a mercy to us. It's recognizing our weakness. It's dealing with us in our struggles and the vileness of our little wicked hearts. Father, we pray that you would give us, as it says in Isaiah 58, a delight in observing your day. That we wouldn't look at it as an imposition. We would look at it as a wonderful thing that you've given us. You've given us plenty of time to do other things. Father, you've given us your authority that we're to keep this day. You're our Lord. We like to show that you're our Lord. Father, you've also set an example for us. And what a delight it is to rejoice with our Creator in the work that he's done and our Redeemer in the work that he's done. The Lord Jesus, every Lord's Day, he meets with us here. He leads us to praise your name and rejoice in what you've done. We pray that we would join him in that praise, that we wouldn't be there working when our Lord is here rejoicing. Father, help us, we pray. And you've given us this word of encouragement that is a blessing, that you have blessed the day. You've told us, you've spoken this with authority that it is a blessing. It's not going to hurt us or harm us. Father, help us to have faith so that we will obey. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.